The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 5, text number 29. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari. Recorded on December 14th, 2012, in Sodnak, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Gatva Mam Shantam Ritshati. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Gatva Mam Shantam Ritshati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This volume is a little too loud. We turn down. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world. But they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord because He is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than He. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Svetashvatara Upanishad 6-7, Supreme Lord is described as Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are His subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga is a path leading to bhakti yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute. And the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya illusion due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one to spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter. For it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast to Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage, or Brahma Nirvana. The eightfold yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate goal is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of yam, niyam, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. But these only preface perfection by devotional service, which alone can award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of karma or action in Krishna consciousness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So there are three things mentioned here. To know that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, to know that he is the supreme proprietor, and to know that he is the supreme friend. These three things. If one understands that Krishna is the supreme proprietor, then automatically he must be the supreme enjoyer. Just like if you own a house, you have the privilege of enjoying the house. No one else can come to enjoy your house unless you invite them. The proprietor has the right to enjoy, others do not. So since Krishna is the proprietor of everything, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he has the right to enjoy everything. Everything is for his pleasure. So if we think that we are the proprietors, what are we doing? We are encroaching upon the property of Krishna. Because actually, Niramama, nothing is our property. Everything belongs to Krishna. So are we free from this false sense of proprietorship? Or are we entangled in this false sense of proprietorship? a little child, when another child comes to visit his house, and the other child looks at his toys, he goes, "Mine." This false sense of proprietorship is there from the very birth, actually. Therefore, it requires training from Vaishnavas, from Guru, and from scriptures, how to overcome this false sense of proprietorship. This false sense of proprietorship prevents one from actually realizing his true identity as a spiritual being. And if one doesn't realize his identity as a spiritual being, what is he going to think that he is? He's going to think that he's a body. And I'll consider this, the eternal living being who actually never gets sick, he never gets old, he never dies. That's the nature of the spirit soul. If he misidentifies with the material body, which gets sick and which gets old and dies, how do you think he can be happy? Is it possible for him to be satisfied? It's like being a millionaire and then being thrown out of your wealth and being a pauper on the street. It's a very unsatisfactory position. So one who actually, and that's all of us, we're all eternal spiritual beings, qualitatively one with God. God is eternal, we are eternal. God is full of knowledge, we are full of knowledge. God is full of bliss, we are full of bliss. Therefore, to misidentify with this body, which is temporary, full of ignorance and misery, puts us into a very, very unfortunate position, a very unhappy position. Therefore, the intelligent person takes guidance from Guru, from Vaishnavas, from the scriptures, and he awakens his spiritual consciousness, his Krishna consciousness. By regular cultivation, by chanting, by studying, by worshipping, by honoring Krishna Prasadam, he regularly cultivates the reawakening of his spiritual consciousness. Because the more that one awakens their spiritual consciousness, they become ecstatic. The more that one has not awakened their spiritual consciousness, they're miserable. So it's up to each one of us, how miserable do we want to be and how happy do we want to be? We want to be 50-50? 50% miserable and 50% happy? Do you want 70-30? Why do you want 100% happiness? You decide how much happiness you want and how much misery you want. If you have a zero tolerance for misery, like me, then there's no choice but to surrender to Krishna. Now, if you enjoy being miserable, then you can, you know, just go ahead and serve your senses, be a slave of the material nature. If you like being miserable, if it's fun for you to be miserable, then go ahead. You don't need to be here at this meeting. This meeting is for people who are not happy with suffering in this material world. Those persons who actually want to become spiritually enlightened, who want to become free from all the miseries of material existence, this meeting is for those kind of people, you see. If you think material misery is great, then you don't need to be here. You can go do some nonsense activities if you think they're fun. But if you understand the material nature doesn't satisfy, that it leaves one with old age, disease, and death, which is not satisfying to anybody in the end, then this is the place for you to be. Because we will train you how to awaken your original enlightened consciousness beyond this material nature. You see? This is the training we have received from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. How to awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness within the heart. It's really not difficult. Do you have any trouble striking a match? No, it's not difficult. You just go... Shoop. Simply you have to have a dry match and a proper striking surface, and you strike it, and boom, the flame comes out. So Krishna consciousness, becoming Krishna conscious, is actually no more difficult than striking a match. But you have to have the striking service and the match have to be dry. That's why we give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. These things make the match wet. It won't light. And we have to strike the match also. What is the striking process? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So becoming spiritually enlightened is no more difficult than striking a match. You just have to do it. If you'll keep yourself free from sinful activities and you regularly chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, then just as the fire comes out from within the match, the dormant love for Krishna, which has been sleeping in your heart for millions of lifetimes, through the 8,400,000 species of life, that original pure love will come out again. You see. Do you know that you were in 8,400,000 different species of life that are listed in the Vishnu Purana? Did you know that you were in those species? Jalajanavalakshani stavadalakshavingshati krimayorudhisankyaka pakshinam dashalakshanam. Trinsa lakshani pashavaha chatur lakshani manashaha. This is described, it's listed. Everyone knows that a lakh is 100,000. It's a way of counting in Sanskrit and in Hindi also. How many lakhs? That's it. So, Jadaja Navalakshani. 9 lakhs, you see. Navalakshani, 9 lakhs. So that's 900,000 different types of what? Jalaja. Jala means water, jala means born. Water born. Water born in the water, the fish, the aquatics. So there's 900,000 different types of aquatics. Jalaja, Navalakshani, Stavara. Sta, just like this is a stand, a sta, a microphone sta, you see. Microphone stand, it stands in one place. So what kind of living beings stands in one place? The trees, the bushes, the plants, you see, they stand in one place. So, as described, there are 2 million different types of stavara laksha vingshati, 20 lakhs. You see? Stavara laksha vingshati. Krimeo rudya sankhyaka, 1,100,000 different types of worms and reptiles. Pakshinam dasha lakshanam, 1 million types of birds. 3 million types of beasts, and only 400,000 different types of human beings. So we've been through all these species. We don't remember it, but we have been through every one of these 8,400,000 species, trapped by the law of karma. Now, in this human lifetime, we have the opportunity to get out of the karma chakra. You don't have to wait for your karma to become self-realized. When my karma dictates, I will become Krishna conscious. No. To become Krishna conscious means to say, I've finished with karma. I'm tired of it. I don't want to be a slave of karma anymore. I'm going to take the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas, and I'm going to become Krishna conscious. You have to choose to get out of karma chakra. All you have to do is decide, I want out. That's all you have to do. I want out of karma chakra. You simply have to make the choice. I want out. I don't want to suffer anymore. Make that choice and then follow the instructions of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas and you'll become a liberated soul. It doesn't matter. You're a man, you're a woman, you're a kid, you're an old senior citizen, you're a politician, a housewife, a fisherman. Doesn't matter what you are, you see. If you will chant the holy names of the Lord, you'll give up your sinful activities, read Prabhupada's books and follow these instructions, you'll become a liberated soul. Iha yashaharer dasye karma namana sagyara nikalasvapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchite. This is described by Rupa Goswami. One who engages his body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord becomes a liberated soul even in this material existence. So, my dear ladies and gentlemen, you can all become liberated souls. All of you can become liberated souls. Whether you're a student, a professional, retired, an employee, computer scientist, an engineer, it doesn't matter what you are, or where you are, or who you are. Simply have the desire to reestablish your loving relationship with God, Krishna, and you can achieve the topmost perfection. You can become one of the greatest liberated persons in history, right here, right now in Mauritius. There's nothing to hold you back except your own hesitation. Therefore, throw off the hesitation. Krishna says, don't hesitate. Masuchaha. Don't hesitate. Throw off hesitation and step forward now to become Krishna's pure devotee. This is our request to all of you. So now, are there any questions? Here we go, some questions. Thank you very much for the class. How do we understand the free will of the living entity? Free will must be there, otherwise love cannot exist. If the parents force the child to never do anything wrong by locking him in his room and chaining him to his bed, my dear son, we're doing you a favor, we'll make sure you never get into trouble. We're just going to chain you to your bed your whole life. We're going to keep you a prisoner. They don't give the child any free will. Can he develop love? And that, no, he'll become like an animal. He can't develop love unless he has he's given the free choice. I see. So free will is necessary to develop human qualities and become a loving person. You have to have free will. So Krishna gives us the free will to love him or to leave him. God is knowing all about the future. God is all-knower, then where is the question of my surrender? It will happen, or the future, which is known to God. Yes, God will know. God knows when you have surrendered. But that just means it's not under your control. Krishna gives you the free choice when to surrender. He knows when you're going to do it. But that doesn't mean he's dictating you when you will do it. Is the butcher the one who gets more sinful reactions than the eater? No.
He's saying the previous question was asked by him, so he wants to make some elaboration on the question.
Okay.
The surrender point, which you said, Krishna is all knower of the future. If Krishna knows everything, what is going to happen in the future? So, like, why should I apply my free will?
No.
It's already known.
No, you have your free will. It's not controlled by Krishna.
So, that is.
Krishna is not controlling when you will surrender. He is fully under your control. You're thinking in the wrong way, that Krishna's knowledge of your surrender means he's deciding when you surrender. That's not true. You are misunderstanding. You have the perfect ability to choose when you surrender, and Krishna knows when you will do it. But it's under your control. You have the wrong idea thinking, because Krishna knows, therefore he's controlling when it will happen. That's not true.
To the line that God knows everything. What is going to happen?
Yes, God knows everything. That's true. Sarvagyans.
So, what is going to happen in the future?
That's right.
So God knows when exactly the free will be exercised by.
He knows when you're going to decide to surrender to him. That's true.
Yeah. So if that is fixed, so where is the purpose?
I've already explained. It's up to you, and he knows. You're thinking that his knowledge is restricting you, but that's not true. That's your misconception. You're thinking his knowledge when you surrender is restricting you. That's not true. And actually, to be honest, if you really want to go to a higher level of understanding, past, present, and future is only in this world. In the transcendental world, there is no past, present, and future. So you're caught up in the time, seeing everything in a conditioned way through time. When you surrender to Krishna, you enter into timelessness. Okay. This was discussed by Prabhupada at great length. If you send me an email, I'll send you the conversation he had with Rameshwar. The exact question was asked by Rameshwar. There's a whole morning walk about this. If you send me an email to sda@backtohome.com, I'll send you the link to the whole detailed conversation where Prabhupada talks about it. But I'm giving you the essence of what Prabhupada said. But if you want to see what Prabhupada did, I'll send you the whole conversation. How come there is no female initiating guru in ISKCON? I don't know. Generally, in Vaishnava history, female gurus are very rare. There's no rule against female gurus. The Janava Mata is a female guru, for example. But generally, women haven't taken that role. It's not that gender is not a qualification or disqualification. It's a matter of one's desire to be. Are there any women who want to be gurus? Actually, one of my god sisters is very senior to me, actually. She wrote an article about this. She said, I wouldn't want to be a guru. Because guru means you're caught up in the karma of all your disciples. A guru has to take birth again for every any one of his disciples that doesn't go back to God. He has to take birth again. She said, I wouldn't want to be a guru. I can't look inside the heads of all the women in ISKCON, senior women, and find out. You could ask them, why aren't you a guru? Go around and take a survey. I know Govinda Dasi said, I wouldn't want to be a guru. Prabhupada said that yes, women can be, but not many. Generally, the women don't take that position, you see. It's guru is actually father. It's the taking the role of father. It's a father position. It's the taking the role of spiritual father, you see. But just like I'm a spiritual master, I have many disciples. My wife here is Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. She's also a guru. For my disciples, she's just as much a guru as I'm a guru. They call her Guru Mata. In fact, they even sang the kirtan. They sang Jaya Guru Dev, Jaya Guru, Jaya Guru Mataji, Jaya Guru Mataji. They worship her as spiritual master also. I remember at the airport, they were going Jaya Guru Dev and Jaya Guru Mataji. So she's actually a female guru. We have a female guru right here. Huh?
Whoever is asking the question, are they willing to take instruction and guidance from the Matajis? As in bow down to her and take the instruction and guidance.
So, I don't know, this could have been. She's asking, whoever wrote this question, are they willing to surrender to a Mataji? And take all guidance from bow down to a Mataji and take all guidance and be fully surrendered unto her.
Offer
arti to her and everything. Are they ready to do that? That's Guru Mataji's challenge. So we have a female guru right here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, is a female guru. She and I are a preaching team. We're the father and mother of my disciples. Kindly outline the various types of surrender in the lotus feet of the Lord. Well, there's two types. There's complete surrender. Oh, three types. There's complete surrender, partial surrender, and no surrender. Those are the three types. Okay. How to remove the something of proprietorship from the childhood stage of life. Well, give your kid a Krishna toy, a Krishna doll. It's not that you should say nothing. It's natural. Everybody wants to have something. So give them a Krishna doll. And, let him have things that remind him of Krishna and his identity with Krishna. And that will make him perfect. Don't say, okay, we're going to give you a room, an empty room with nothing in it, like in personal Brahman. We're going to free you. We're not going to let you have any false sense of proprietorship. We're not going to let you have any toys. We're not going to give you any nice clothes. We're just going to give you, you're going to sleep on the floor. Not like that. But give the child wonderful Krishna conscious toys instead of nonsense karmi toys, you see. Actually, I know one of my godbrothers. He was a little boy, and Prabhupada initiated him, actually. His name was Dvarkadish Das. Prabhupada called him, he gave him a nickname. Little boy, you give him a nickname. Prabhupada called him, it was Dvarkadish Das, so Prabhupada called him Mr. DDD. He's a little boy. Prabhupada initiated him. And his father was not a devotee. And his father came to visit. And the father bought him some karmi toys for Mr. D.D. And Mr. D.D. he said, no, this is Maya. He didn't want him. He said, okay, what is the difference between transmigration of souls and animal bodies and the transmigration of the human soul? There's a big difference. The human is getting the reaction for his pious and impious activities committed in that particular lifetime. The animals are burning off pious and impious reactions from their previous human lifetime. That's the difference. The animals don't create any karma. Okay. Those who do not chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, Muslims, Christians, does it mean these people will not attain the spiritual world? Actually, pure bhakti is not a sectarian thing. Anyone who becomes a pure lover of God, it doesn't matter if they're a Muslim, a Christian, or a Krishnite, anyone who develops pure love of God, and such a person will naturally develop all saintly qualities. He will be a pure saint. Anyone who develops pure love of God, whether they chant Allah, Christ, or Krishna, they'll all go back to Godhead. You see? But it's not. But if you chant Hare Krishna, or you chant Allah, and you chant Christ, and your heart remains full of material desires, you won't go back to Godhead. So it's not what organization you belong to, or what group you belong to. It's how much you have purified your heart that counts. So don't think, yes, I'm a Hare Krishna, I'm saved. That's like the Christians, I accepted Jesus, so I'm saved. You have to develop a taste for pure bhakti. That's the criterion. It's like I tell one joke. There was one man who, he heard that if you go to the church and you give a donation, then you'll be saved. You heard some sinful man. He heard that all you have to do is go to the church and put some money in the offering plate, and then you'll be saved. You see. So he did that, and so the time of death. This is a make-believe story, but it makes a point. The agents of death were taking him to hell. He said, no. You can't take me to hell. I put $10 in the offering plate. On one Sunday, I went to church. I put $10 in the offering plate. You can't take me to hell. You have to take me to heaven because I gave $10 in the offering plate. So the counselor didn't know what to do. He said, well, he took him to the gate of heaven. He wouldn't let him in. He just let him outside the gate. He said, let me go talk to God about this and see what we're going to do. So, a few minutes later, he came out with a $10 bill in his hand. He said, what did God say? He said, give him his $10 back and tell him to go to hell. So, it's not that just by, some token of So bhakti, you can become saved. You have to actually develop a taste for pure devotion. That's required. Whether you're a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, a Sikh, a Krishnite, whatever you may be, you have to develop pure love for the Supreme Lord. And if you have, you will be a saintly person by nature. You'll naturally become non-violent, saintly person. Unless you happen to be a warrior, then you can be violent. It's okay, like Arjuna. But other than that, one is devotee is never an aggressor, killing innocent people. After the departure of the initiating guru from this world, what is the position of his initiated disciples? Well, that depends on how Krishna conscious they are. I know when Prabhupada left, many of the devotees left. There was a huge number gradually, almost every Prabhupada, practically, if you figure the total number of 5,000 Prabhupada disciples initiated, how many actually stayed? How many are still active in ISKCON? It's a very small number. I mean, maybe there's 500 of us. We haven't made an exact count. How many? Maybe 1,000. But, I mean, you could say maybe 80% of them left, you see. So, but those who 20% who stayed, if that's whatever the number is, they're very dedicated, you see. So it's up to each disciple. Are you dedicated to your spiritual master's order, or is it just some sentiment when you see him? Are you dedicated to serving his instructions? You see, that separates the genuine bhakta from the pseudo-bhaktas, who is dedicated to serving the order of the spiritual master. You'd like to add something to that, dude? Okay. I'm having many difficulties at home with my parents-in-law. They do not want me to follow the Krishna consciousness movement. My husband does not support me and is only addicted to sex. What is the best thing for me to do? Do I have to divorce him to go abroad and go abroad to some other country? Why don't you take this one? It's a good one.
This is a personal guidance.
It's a personal question. Okay, this sort of a thing depends. You have to best be a personal meeting to see the details, and we don't want to have to discuss the gory details in front of everybody here. This is a personal matter. It's not a philosophical question. Such questions are important, but they should be discussed in a private meeting. They can't be. We're not going to have a go through all the gory details in front of all the people. That would be very embarrassing, and it would take a whole hour probably to come up with a good strategy. So we don't want to. This can. You need to meet with a senior devotee face to face and reveal everything, all the details that are going on. Yeah, that's right. Many devotees cannot properly identify their guru. Some grow abroad for initiation. What is the best recommended process to identify a spiritual master? You want to take this one? How do you choose a guru? Yeah, how do you identify who your guru is? You want to handle this one?
Yeah.
Huh? You want me to take it? Okay. Well, one of my god brothers, who actually he's a god nephew. His guru allowed him to initiate disciples also. But he gave a nice advice. He said, you should hear from many gurus and then choose which one inspires you, which one you like the best. Because through the internet, you can hear so many of the different gurus' lectures, you see. And because, you know, when Prabhupada was here, it was just one place. You know, you go, it was just Prabhupada only. When you join ISKCON, you become a Prabhupada disciple. That was it. But now, ISKCON was like a little shop, and now it's like a huge shopping mall, you know, with about 100 different shops. You're in the mall, the ISKCON mall, and which shop are you going to go to buy your goods? You know, you go to the Jai Pataka shop, the Sankarshan Das Adhikari shop, the Giri Raj Maharaj shop. You know, there's so many, it's a huge mall. What are you going to do? Well, this guy, their advice, go to a lot of different shops. Go ahead and shop around, have fun, shop around. Get totally satisfied. shop around. And then when, and then in the beginning, you should do a lot of shopping around. You're from this guru, you're from that guru, read this guru's writings, here's this guru's lectures. You know, just play the field, as they say.
Prabhupada says one should not choose guru on the sentiment. One should see where they can dedicate their life.
So she's saying that one should not choose a guru sentimentally, but where they can dedicate their life. So you should really see which guru can I give my heart and soul completely to. That I have faith that this person is purely representing Prabhupada's teachings, and I can fully give my heart and soul to this person, my whole life to this person. You should check out the different gurus until you find one where you feel you can fully give your heart and soul to him. That's a good point of advice. Yeah. Pornography is becoming a terrible disease for our human society. In Mauritius, many adolescents become pregnant at a young age. How can the Krishna consciousness movement help today's modern age society? By training people not to have illicit sex and not to look at pornography. See, the modern day society, now I heard they just legalized abortion in this country. That's simply encouraging illicit sex. That's all it does, it encourages illicit sex. That now you can have sex, don't worry about it, if you get pregnant, it's just some tissue, kill it. Like you blow your nose, you know, expel the baby like some mucus. I mean, it's they're turning people into monsters. By legalizing abortion, they are turning people into murderers and monsters. It's shocking to me. Of course, it happened in America 30 years ago. It's shocking. And when the people become so degraded that they say it's okay to murder little babies. So it's a very sad situation in the world, you see. You all are following suit with the other degraded countries of the world. It's a very sad day when abortion becomes legalized in a country. Because now the karma from all those murdered babies will bring more and more degradation to your country. You'll see. You become more and more degraded. More and more economic problems, more and more disease. Everything bad will come from the karma of killing all those babies. So it's a very bad day for this country. The only solution is through massive sankirtan, to counteract the sinful activities. So please regularly go out on the streets and sing and dance the Hare Krishna mantra, because that can counteract the evil influence which is coming into this country. The more we perform kirtan, the more we distribute Prabhupada's books, the more we have wonderful, wonderful Krishna conscious festivals, then we can counteract the inauspicious atmosphere. You see, then there is hope. By the power of Krishna's holy name and Prabhupada's books, there's hope for this country and all the other countries in the world. You want to add something to that? Okay. I'm having a problem with ego. How can you help me? Well, ego means identity. Ego is neither good nor bad. It can be good or it can be bad. If you're thinking that you're the center of the universe, then it is a problem, you see. But if you understand the real meaning of ego, which is I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, then you're in good shape. So if you're having a problem of being falsely proud or egotistic, then you should simply bow down before Krishna and Guru and become a humble servant. And this way, your ego problem will go away. False ego problem. How can material life and spirituality be together? Like two rails in the train track. If you will take care of your material body as a service so that you can do your devotional service, then there's no problem. Just like our only business really is chanting Hare Krishna. But if you don't have a place to live and you don't have any food, it will be difficult just to chant Hare Krishna. I see. You may say, well, I'll just go sit on the mountain over there and chant some japa beads. But the government may say, you're not allowed to sit up here. You see what I'm saying? So we need some facility where we can peacefully engage in our Krishna consciousness. So you need a job or some livelihood so you can pay for the mortgage or the rent, pay for the food, electricity. So these things are just so we can practice Krishna consciousness peacefully. Livelihood is just for the purpose of peacefully practicing Krishna consciousness. It has no other purpose. Because if your thinking is to enjoy, your body will not be enjoyable. Your body will become a source of misery. So don't think, well, we'll make a nice material arrangement so we can enjoy life. It won't work. You will never be able to do that. No matter what, even if you're a wealthy, a wealthy, super wealthy person, still you're going to have to get old, get sick, and die. You see. So the real thing is focus on chanting Hare Krishna and take your livelihood as some way to make an adjustment so you can peacefully chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Can a living entity take breath as a Tulsi plant? No. There's only Tulsi Devi appears as a Tulsi plant. A jiva, not ordinary jiva, cannot take breath as a Tulsi plant. Not possible. Krishna is the all-knower from whom everything emanates. A guru is always tuned into Krishna and being connected to Krishna. Krishna connects him to unlimited knowledge. Please tell me when I will surrender to Krishna. Krishna doesn't give the guru everything. It's not that the guru becomes the super soul. Krishna doesn't. He can. But Krishna doesn't, as a rule, doesn't tell the guru everything about everybody when they will surrender. He could do that. But generally, Krishna doesn't do that.
But isn't the surrender volunteer?
Yes, the whole this other Prabhu's question is coming close to the other question again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so one has to make a conscious choice to surrender. No, surrender is not by force. We are not coming with a gun. Surrender. You may say surrender. Yeah, I'm surrendering. But you are not. Within the heart, you are not. It's like a terrorist.
The devotee leaves his body by remembering Krishna. Where does he go? He goes to the spiritual world. Does he go to Goloka Vrindavan, or does he go to some other planets and get spiritual and gets purified first? Well, now there's a detailed answer here. Prabhupada does mention the living entity actually first goes for training in the material world where Krishna is having his pastimes. That's also mentioned. He gets trained up in his particular rasa somewhere in the material world where Krishna is having his pastimes here. And then after that he goes back to Godhead. So that's a detail. It's basically just a stopping off. It's a training session on the way back to Godhead is all it really is. The training session on the way back to Galo. Okay. Can pious activities lead to entry into the spiritual world? No. This is confirmed by Rupa Goswami. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopalabhyate tattala yang bimuyam ekalam janmakoti sukritaya nalabhyate. This is mentioned, this is in the Pajavali, text number 14. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved even by executing pious activities in hundreds of millions of lifetimes. It can be achieved only by paying one price, and that is the intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So not by pious activities. As in Brahma Vivona Lila, It's something, immense number of places, activities had to be performed, like Gopa boys to get association with Krishna and have food with him. It is mentioned that by executing heaps of pious activities, they got this privilege. But it's not by material piety. There is spiritual piety of engaging in devotional service. Material piety will never elevate one to the transcendental realm. Opening hospitals, digging wells, you know, feeding the poor, bhoga. Pious, material pious activities, devotional activities, yes. They qualify one by doing kirtan, prasadam distribution, distributing Prabhupada's books, offering the arati, joining the kirtan. These devotional activities do qualify when they go back to the spiritual world. The more you do them, the more you become qualified. Does the butcher get more sinful reaction than the eater? What is the answer? I finished it. I was going to, but I didn't. If someone is thinking, well, I'm only an eater, so it's not so bad as being a butcher, don't think that way. Actually, they're all equally implicated, the killer and the eater. It's like if somebody, there's a murder, okay? And the hitman who pulled the trigger, he's found guilty, but the accomplices are also found guilty, and they're also put to death. Those who also participate in the crime, the one who paid the hitman to pull the trigger, the eater, he paid for that, he went to McDonald's, he paid for the hamburger, right? So the butcher is the hitman, the person who pays the hitman, he's also guilty of murder. So if you pay for a hamburger, you're paying the hitman, and you're also guilty of murdering that cow. You see? And those who facilitate it, the ones who drive the meat truck, the ones who... everyone who's connected, they're all implicated in the murder of the innocent, of our mother, the cow. They're all implicated. Some people are believers in God, but still they have the arrogance in them. Well, you know, I think that applies to us, isn't it? Aren't we still arrogant? We believe in God, but we're still arrogant, isn't it? Aren't we still arrogant? The proof is, you see, we haven't fully realized Krishna yet. That's our own arrogance, which is standing in the way. So this applies to all of us. We believe in God, but we still have arrogance. We're still haughty. We're still proud, thinking that we're great, you see. You see, we're still lacking pure bhakti because of our arrogance. So what's the use of praying when we're being arrogant at the same time? Well, if you keep chanting Hare Krishna, gradually, if we keep chanting Hare Krishna, our arrogance will go away. The more you chant, the more your arrogance goes away.
My question is this.
Yeah?
That means the person who asked that question is not arrogant.
So we're all arrogant except for the person who asked the question. So whoever that is, we should accept this person as our guru. This person doesn't have any arrogance. So this person should be our spiritual master to guide us how to become free from arrogance. Some people believe in Mauritius believe in black magic. How can we prevent this and bring them to the right path? Well, you can tell them that white magic is more powerful than black magic. We are white magicians. Actually, Krishna is the supreme magician. And if you chant Hare Krishna, you become a magician, a white magician. Okay, let's see, we have a couple more. How can a person control his anger? become angry at the demons. It's like I'm very angry at these people who say that there is no God. It makes me very angry, you see. It makes me angry that they're killing babies, they're killing the cows. I'm angry about this. So I channel my anger by traveling all over and preaching very strongly against these sinful rascals who are destroying the atmosphere on this planet, you see. So in this way, channel your anger by preaching. Go out and distribute books. If you're angry, go on book distribution. Distribute as many books as you possibly can. That's the best use of anger. To challenge this material civilization by distributing Prabhupada's books as much as possible. That's the way to control your anger. Okay. What is the proof that God exists? It's a very simple thing. Actually, there are many proofs that God exists. One proof given by Prabhupada is like this. Every machine has an operator, isn't it? We can study all the machines. Any gadget like this harmonium, somebody has to pump it. This, you know, the amplifier, somebody has to plug it in. I have a self-winding watch. If I don't go like this, my watch will stop. I have to move my hand every now and then to keep the watch running. Every machine that we've ever experienced requires somebody to operate it, you see. So, if you study the cosmic manifestation, is it not a gigantic machine? Doesn't it operate just like a machine? Yes. It's also a machine. Since every machine has, within our experience as an operator, we Prabhupada says we can guess that the supreme machine has an operator also, you see. Let us go. So, to understand God is a very simple thing. If one is antagonistic against God, they will never understand these things. But an open-minded person can immediately understand, yes, there must be God. You see? Why must a person pray? You don't have to pray if you don't want to. If you want to be an animal, you can be an animal. You see? You don't have to pray. But if you want to be a human being, you have to approach God. That's a fit. But I tell you, if you approach him and you pray for material things, you're only halfway to where you need to be. Dear God, give me this, give me that. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. You see, if you're praying like that, you're only halfway there. At least you're not an atheist. We applaud you for not being an atheist. But if you're asking God for all of these things, you're stupid. You're just plain stupid. Because God, you don't have to ask God for your necessities. How many of you growing up in your home had to ask your parents to feed you? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's an insult to ask God for material things. If a kid says, "Will you feed me today, Daddy?" That would be an insult. What do you mean, "Will I feed you?" It's an insult against the parents. Don't you have any faith in me? It would be an insult. My dear father and mother, will you feed me? That'd be an insult. So to ask God for material things is actually an insult. It means you don't trust him. You don't have faith he'll take care of you, you see. So instead of praying for material things, you should pray for bhakti. My dear mother and father, how can I serve you? My dear Supreme Lord, please bless me that I can serve you very nicely. Then you become very, very dear to the Lord. And that is Krishna consciousness process. You see.
Can I ask a question relating to that?
Okay, thanks.
What's that? My question relating to that.
Huh?
My question. Huh? The question is this, that we don't have faith, but we are taking, and yet we do not appreciate.
Yeah, we're taking from God, but yet we don't appreciate what God is giving to us. Yeah. That's it. Now here's the last one. Why must we become vegetarian? Again, you don't have to become a vegetarian. But if you want to be like an animal, you can eat meat. actually lower than an animal, because the human being, by God's arrangement, is a vegetarian body. If you don't believe me, just study the anatomy of the human beings. Compare the human body with the body of herbivorous animals, vegetarian animals, and carnivorous animals. Study the jaws. Study the digestive juices in the mouth. Study the belly. Study the intestinal system. And you will see that we have herb-eating bodies. You see, for example, the meat-eating animals have a very short colon, because if you have meat in your gut, it turns from fermentative to putrefactive. It rots in your gut and causes cancer, to be gross, you know. So, therefore, the carnivorous animals have a very short gut, so they get it out very quickly before it starts rotting, you see. So we have very long guts, because we're not meant to put meat in there, you see. So we have bodies that are meant to be vegetarian. And if you want to be healthy, you should be a vegetarian. And to eat meat for a human being is not our quota either. It's against our quota. It's unhealthy physically and karmically. It is very detrimental. A human being that eats flesh must become an animal in his next birth. Must become an animal. That's a pen. He'll become an animal. So karmically, it's very detrimental. And Krishna says that we should eat, whatever we eat should first be offered to him, and he lists what he will accept, and it doesn't include meat, fish, and eggs. Fruit, vegetables, dairy products, and grains are the categories that Krishna accepts. He says, if you eat food, you must offer it to me, and this is the categories of what you should offer, and if you don't eat food offered to me, you're eating sin. So sin means you have to take birth again in a hellish condition. What advice can you give to the students who want to lead a spiritual life and study? Well, you should study Prabhupada's books. You should chant japa. It's your first business every day. Don't engage in party life like the mundane students. You be a very serious student. The first thing you do is you get up in the morning and you chant 16 rounds and read Prabhupada's books for a few minutes and then do your studies. Don't engage in mundane activities of these students. You see, having sex and taking intoxication, looking at porno, or all the bad habits the students are getting into nowadays, taking drugs. Just avoid all the bad association. You do very well in your go for the top marks in your school, but the first business is to chant japa and read Prabhupada's books, and then study hard to be the top student in your university. I recommend them. A devotee is expert in everything, so if you're actually Krishna conscious, you should be one of the top students in the university. You should become so qualified that you become the prime minister of this country in the future. This is what I tell the youth. You see, you should become highly qualified as business leaders, entrepreneurs, political leaders. So in the future, we can have Krishna-conscious government in this country. I want our students to be very good achievers, to excel in their studies. But first, you have excellent sadhana. So, have I run out of questions? You'd like to add something else?
I lost
everything. That's it? Okay, well, we thank you all very much for so wonderfully listening. I mean, you've been hearing very nicely. You haven't seen anybody falling asleep out there in the audience. I mean, it's really good. Everyone seems to be tuned in and turned on and blissing out. So that's great. So we thank you all very much. This is the final evening lecture. I'm giving it my final lecture tomorrow at the temple, Phoenix Temple. Radha Golokananda Mandir Ki Jai. Tomorrow at 7:30, I'll be giving my final lecture. And then we will be coming back the end of May, actually, or the last day of May, I think it is, for another visit to give you more of Krishna consciousness and to get more inspired by your Krishna consciousness also. So we thank you very much for so nicely receiving Vishnupriya Mataji and myself. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.